Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. We found out that the person who sent Lance McCullers and his family death threats was a drunk gambler from another country. Tonight, the Astros get back in action with Lance McCullers on the hill against the Pittsburgh Pirates, Paul Skenes, who is arguably the best pitcher in all of baseball. I believe statistically, over the course of the last year and change since the start of the 2024 season, he has statistically been the best pitcher in the sport. Obviously, he's great at baseball. I will admit, though, I think it's more impressive that he was able to start dating Libby Dunn. This game's in Pittsburgh. Libby Dunn in attendance. A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure on all the Astros to impress arguably the most important woman in the world today, June 3rd, 2025. Sean's nodding his head. That's right. We all saw how she just completely changed the game at Miami Swim Week, because not only did she do the catwalk thing where, you know, you walk down the thing when you're a model. You walk to the end of the thing and then you turn around and then you walk back. She walked to the end of the thing and did a split. Okay? Game's been changed.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like the first basketball player to dunk, basically.
Pretty much. You're right. She's a pioneer, you know? Is she like Jackie Robinson playing baseball? No, that's too far. Doing that is that's not the same as being the first black guy to play baseball. That's wrong, Texter. How dare you suggest that? But what she did, pioneer for women's fashion. She will probably be in attendance for this big game between the Astros and Pirates.
An old National League Central rivalry.
National
the old League Buccos.
Yeah. Careful. Hope everyone's careful on the right field wall this time around in Pittsburgh. Going back to the scene of not crime, I guess. The guy just fell. The underage kid.
That's right. The guy who, he's alive.
Alive.
So
I honestly, I think I was out for that update of it. And so
you weren't sure.
I wanted to talk around whether he lived or died.
He lived. It is incredible that he lived. That's one of the more gruesome things I've seen. Also, the way that he just jumped out of his seat and over the railing. Whoop. I mean, it looked like something that was artificial intelligence when it first popped across my feet. I was like, wait a second. He jumped up so quick and he just fell over the railing.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like he was trying to do it. So it did sort of seem, because of the
uncanny,
it didn't seem like a real body was moving there the way that he jumped. And of course, we found out the guy was practically vegetatively drunk at that moment in time. But he thankfully survived. You're right. That's like the only thing of value. Not value. That's the only thing that's important that's happened at PNC Park where the Pirates play. Other than, there was another incident. Remember, there was that Pirate security guard who was getting...
the one with the belt?
Yeah, he took out a belt because this guy came up to him. We don't know why, but this guy who was clearly shorter than him and also a little chubby, who looked like a hipster from Portland. Nothing against hipsters from Portland, but this guy gets in a security guard's face. He said something. He eventually spits at him, and the security guard who first starts swinging on him. He struck first, then decides, you know what? I'm going to get a belt out. I'm going to get a belt out. The guy who got punched, who then, after getting punched and looking dazed, walked away from the fight, over to a garbage can, seeming like he was walking away from the whole fight altogether, only to take his hat off and take his jacket off, like he is about to get in some sort of duel against this security guy, was a very funny moment because he did not connect on one punch. He just acted like a complete wuss. And then after that guy wailed on him with his fists, took out a belt, started beating him like he was Papa. It's fun.
Yeah, it was like the cinematic part of a movie, like of a movie duel where a guy like takes off part of his armor or part of his uniform, and then the other guy just pulls out a weapon. It was like that where he just pulls out a belt and just starts whipping him.
We talked about it. Of all the weapons to have on your person,
it's probably
guys,
the best.
If you're in a pinch, use the belt.
I need to start wearing belts.
So, had me wondering before today's show, this is not going to be a Paul Skeens-Hunter Brown duel or a Paul Skeens-Fromber-Valdez duel, especially with the way Fromber's been pitching of late. But Lance McCullers, back in the day, he's been pretty damn good. He's coming off a 12-strikeout performance. So since this could theoretically be a pitcher's duel tonight, especially with the Astros' offense being what it's been for a lot of this season, is it possible that we will see a duel that's like some of the greatest duels that we've seen in both actual history and in sports history? I went on Google. I looked up best duels in movies. There's a bunch of Star Wars ones. There's Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi threw it in the towel.
Well, also, like, that one, they didn't really have the choreography down.
No.
It wasn't. I my mind wasn't blown by the choreography.
Someone did a YouTube redo of it, and it's awesome. It's actual live action. It looks fantastic. It's not done by the people who made Star Wars. It's really great. Also, you have Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker, part one and part two. You have Darth Maul against both Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi. You have Darth Tyrannus, a.k.a. Count Dooku, going up against Obi-Wan Kenobi and going up against Anakin Skywalker. He wins, but then he faces off against Yoda. It's a bit of a draw. Then you've got – I've been watching these all over again. That's how I know.
I could tell.
Then you've got Yoda against Emperor Palpatine. You got Obi versus Anakin Part 1. You got Obi versus Anakin Part 2. You get what I'm saying here. You could maybe recognize Rey versus Kylo Ren. I don't. Listen, lots of duels in the Star Wars universe. But you've also got Wesley versus Inigo Montoya.
Yes.
Right? Yes. The Princess Bride.
Yeah, Princess Bride.
Then you have Inigo Montoya against the guy who killed his father. Hector versus Achilles. That's a mythological one going all the way back to the Odyssey or the movie Troy.
I was going to say going all the way back to the movie Troy.
Yeah. Troy. It's great. It's Eric Bana against Brad Pitt, you know?
What more could you ask for?
I got to say, Hector ran up the score afterwards. Excuse me, Achilles ran up the score afterwards.
Yeah.
He's dragging his body around in the chariot outside.
Act like you've been there before,
yeah.
Achilles. That's what I say.
Like, I get it. You killed Patroclus, and, you know, you guys may have been shaboinking, you know, discreetly on the side. It's a Greek thing. It's fine. But there was no reason to run up the score there, okay? Yeah. You've got online, it says Neo against Agent Smith. You've got Oberyn, the Viper, against the Mountain.
That was a good one.
That was a hell of a fight.
Game of runs, but
definitely a game of
runs. Ultimately, like the Pacers, amazing comeback.
Like the Celtics against the Knicks. Yeah, didn't go so
career
well
injured
for Oberyn Martell. Yeah, it was like Jason Tatum's Achilles, that one. We got a couple ones on the text line. Kip versus Dynamite. Kip versus Napoleon Dynamite in the Octagon. That would not have been fun. I really wish we got to see, I know this is different, but I really wish we got to see Elon Musk against Mark Zuckerberg. I really wish we'd gotten to see that. Someone's bringing up Rocky versus Drago in Rocky IV. I don't know if that's a duel. You know? That's not really a duel.
Do you need weapons for a duel?
Yeah, that's a boxing match. I think there's got to be some weapons and some actual death stakes involved. Now,
Apollo?
Yeah, I mean, that was technically a duel. But say Rocky, like, showed up in Russia and he had, like, a Glock. And Drago had a Glock. And then they start shooting at each other like it's a John Wick movie. That would be more of one. John Wick, there's a bunch of duels in that one. If we're talking about fictional ones still. What's your favorite duel? Best duels in real life? Everyone bringing up Alexander Hamilton. I am not giving up my shot. I am not giving up my... dead. Because he gave up his shot like an idiot. A lot of the whole musical is like, I'm taking a stand by not taking a stand. It's like, you're dead, bitch. You're dead. Poor Bart.
I've never seen them. I don't think you could come up with something I'd be less interested than the musical.
That musical basically is like just this complete slander of the history of Aaron Burr. Also, by the way, because Aaron Burr, apparently, from what I understand, not as bad as he was made out to be. The guy was just horny all the time, but whatever. How about this one? Miyamoto Musashi and Sasaki Kojiro.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
1612.
Yeah.
Legendary duel between two of Japan's most celebrated swordsmen.
Yeah.
Miyamoto Musashi arrived late. He wielded a wooden sword made from an oar, and he won.
What?
That's pretty awesome.
How is this not...
1612.
How is this not like 10 movies?
How is this not in Shogun?
Yeah.
Can we get that in Shogun Season 2 or some version of that? Oh, here's a fun one. This involves women. Lady Almeria Braddock and Mrs. Elphinstone in 1792. The petticoat duel, which took place at London's Hyde Park. Can you guess, Sean, what started the duel? Just think.
A petticoat?
No, that's close.
Okay.
Just think about something that, if you bring up with a woman, would drive them crazy. Like, what's the one thing you can't ask about?
Oh, the weight?
Not that.
I thought one of these women with ridiculous names called the other one fat.
1792, it might have been better to be fat than skinny.
True.
I don't know.
Fat man's world.
No, it was a dispute about her age.
Oh, okay. That's number two on the list, I was thinking.
The women initially used pistols, but after missing... I didn't make the joke, okay? They missed. After that, they used swords. Doesn't say who won.
Okay. So, birth certificate questions?
Yeah, birth certificate questions led to a duel between two women. Andrew Jackson and Charles Dickinson... Not to be confused with Charles Dickens.
Yes, Charles Dickens. Yeah.
Before becoming president in 1806, Andrew Jackson, known for his temper, fought and killed Charles Dickinson in a duel in Kentucky, which stemmed from an insult made about his wife.
Good. I think that's fair. Wait, whose wife got insulted? Because it'd be tough to have your wife.
Jackson's wife.
Okay, that's good.
Dickinson made an insult.
It would be tough to
fight and lose.
Lose to the guy who insulted your wife.
That would be so embarrassing.
And you die.
That would be so embarrassing. Does that mean, like, that she belongs to him now? Like, that she just became...
Prima Nocta?
His wife? Yeah, I don't know how that works. Some fun ones. Edward Manet and Edmond Duranty. The French painter, Edouard Manet, challenged the critic to a sword duel after a harsh review of his work. I'm so thankful athletes don't do this with me. The more I read about this... No one's challenging me to a duel for, like, questioning, like, the Astros medical staff. Like, head trainers. Like, who's this a-hole?
Jeremiah Randall.
Yeah, who's this a-hole that thinks he's a doctor? He brings, like, a scalpel to the duel.
Yeah.
These scars.
The one at the end of Gladiator.
Maximus against Commodus. Yeah. Right. Where, if you haven't watched Gladiator, this is a bit of a spoiler. We won't tell you what happens. But Commodus, who wants everyone to know, he's all about that. Like, Commodus wants everyone to know that
he's just
as fearsome as everyone. Right. He's constantly trying to impress his dead father, who he kills. So,
spoiler.
At the very end of the movie, after Maximus is captured, Maximus and Commodus fight in the Colosseum, but Commodus had shanked him already before, so he's wounded going into the fight and thinking that this will give him the upper hand. What happens? I guess you'll have to watch the movie to find out.
And then, after you finish that movie, do I have a movie for you to watch?
Yeah.
Maybe wait 20 years and then watch it. But...
Isabel Carlazzi and D'Ambra de Pitanella. Oh, they're Italians? Oh, that's... Hey, don't laugh. In a case of women dueling, these two young women fought for the affection of a man in Naples in 1552. The duel, fought with lances, maces, and swords, was later immortalized in a painting. Good God!
Lances, maces, and swords?
Did they both? Did either of them survive?
I'm surprised by the... How much? Like, I don't think Oberyn Martell and the Mountain had that many different types of weapons.
No,
and they're
no.
literally walking over and picking more up.
Could they not lift any of them? Like, that would make sense. No offense to the ladies out there. I mean, like a sword, a lance, a mace, probably all very heavy. So there you go. And then the last one, General François Fournier Salovici and General Pierre Dupont de Letang. They fought over 19 years in a duel.
What?
1794 to 1813, the long-lasting duel between two French officers fought almost over two decades is considered one of the most unusual in history. They established rules for their meetings and often exchanged correspondence and friendly greetings before their encounters. That's pretty awesome. It's actually pretty cool.
Like Tom and Jerry?
Yeah.
Like they had a set time that they're going to do.
So we're getting some texts. We'll read some of your texts, but those are the greatest duels in fictional history and in real history. We'll get to some of these over the course of the rest of the show. You got Lance McCullers versus Paul Skeens tonight. Hopefully that will be just as good. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, everything that we know about the Rockets offseason to this point. Stick around.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We'll get back to some of the dual nominations, fictional and in real life, that you guys brought to the table on the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Towards the back of the segment we were talking about with Paul Skeens on the hill and Lance McCullers hopefully doing what he did in his last start against the A's with a career high tying 12 strikeouts. Maybe we'll see a pitcher's duel tonight. Had me daydreaming about duels. This is what happens when there's no game the night before. There's one texter who's just not feeling the show today. He's like, you're too loose. It's too fun. Listen, man, this is our wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's either this or Stroud shoulder talk.
Right, we're not going to do that to you, okay? Stroud,
we did a show of yesterday of Yordan talk.
We
just need to break it up.
Yordan talk, a little more consequential.
Yeah,
because
games are happening.
Games are happening. Stroud talk, in training camp, if it's still an issue, it will become a story that matters.
Yeah.
It'll be a story that really matters if Stroud struggles at the beginning of the year and we're wondering if it's a shoulder issue of some sort. For now, it's not. Kelly Eco covers the NBA and the Houston Rockets for The Athletic. He put together a piece that came out today talking about the Rockets' offseason plans. I read through it. Here are the biggest takeaways. Number one, Fred VanVleet is expected to return. For those who don't know, there was a deadline for the Rockets and VanVleet to agree on an option for this third season, and they pushed the deadline back about, I think, to the end of this month. I think they've got plenty of time to still make a decision.
I think it's the day before free agency, I think.
That sounds about right. So Fred VanVleet, though, is expected to return. It's just them working on
a
new
form.
Contract. Yeah. So that's the first takeaway from this. June 29th is the deadline for his team option. Number two, Steven Adams, who is a free agent, is a priority to resign. He's a priority. Good. I want Steven Adams back. I did not think that we would have as much fun with Steven Adams as we did last season. I really didn't. Second half of the season, he was awesome. He really was. The Rockets may have stumbled onto something with this big lineup that they have with both him and with Alperen Şengün out there. And, I mean, he just plays basketball exactly the way that you want one of your big guys to play. Absolute force on the offensive glass, big body, does the little things. Someone that on your team you do not want people to mess with. He's not out of control, though, with his I'm a huge guy justice out on the court. He's the perfect eighth, ninth guy to have on your team.
Yeah, especially when your best player is a center, to have a backup center who can play with your star player. That's just huge. And then even in the, you know, whatever 12 minutes that he sits per game in the regular season, you have a backup unit with a awesome center.
The only issue with Adams is an issue for all the Houston Rockets, and it's something that I suggested only somewhat tongue-in-cheek towards the end of their series against the Warriors, which is that every single player on the Rockets should be shooting free throws, granny style, going forward. Oh, you're too cool. You're too cool.
Yeah.
You lost that series to the Warriors in seven games after missing
a million.
36 in at least the first four or five games. It was a lot.
It was a lot.
I was trying to remember off the top of my head. I think it was at one point, I think it was 60 for 96, which is just mind blowing, truly.
Yeah.
More from Kelly Eco's piece in The Athletic about the Rockets and their offseason plans. If Steven Adams isn't back, Brook Lopez is a name to watch. Okay. Yeah, I think you do need to have another good big man. Lopez is definitely up there in age. I'd prefer Adams' physicality. I think it blends better with what the Rockets are trying to do. But Lopez, a little offense that he brings to the table.
Yeah, he can. He's a stretch big, which is something that they don't have right now. I do like him more as a backup center than the starting center for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, like, this is him, I feel like, aging into the right role. A lot like what Adams did. But like you, just having seen the results of Adams versus the unknown of Lopez, I'd prefer Adams, obviously.
Adams is just more fun. To me, it's more that than it is actually the fit. I'm sure that the Rockets would find a way to get the most out of Lopez. I really trust what the Rockets are doing right now. More as far as Rockets offseason plans. Devin Booker talks have settled down. So that means the Rockets are not looking to trade for Devin Booker anymore, in my opinion. I suppose that there is something that the Suns could perhaps come to the Rockets with. That would be less of an offer. But it seems like right now the Suns are focused more than anything on trying to move Kevin Durant. Which brings us to our next tidbit from Kelly Eco's piece in The Athletic about the Rockets' offseason plans. Kevin Durant's trade value is lowering every single day. That said, talks are still sort of happening. So, how are those talks happening? What the hell does that mean? It's mixed messaging going on here. Per Kelly Eco, the Suns are aggressively pursuing trying to get their draft picks back from the Rockets in trade talks involving Durant. They want the number 10 pick, and the Rockets are open to moving the number 10 pick. Are they open to moving the number 10 pick specifically for Durant? That seems to be unclear at this moment in time. The Suns are the ones that are making the phone calls about Kevin Durant to the Rockets. Since the conclusion of the season, Houston has fielded several calls from Phoenix, who have since gradually lowered their asking price for Durant. Well, stands to reason that you keep waiting, that things are going to look better and better and better for the Rockets. I saw today NBA Centel had put out that the Atlanta Hawks might be sniffing around Kevin Durant. I'm sorry, I'm not competing with the Hawks. I'm the Houston Rockets. I'm not competing with a Trae Young team. You know, if Durant's looking for an extension or a place where he can actually win, is he going to want to go there? I would doubt it. Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wide open East. You'll hear that all offseason of how wide open the East is. It's not that wide open.
It's not that wide open.
not that wide open.
The teams at the top, I mean, it's Cleveland, if they can get their act together
Cleveland,
in the playoffs.
Cleveland, Indy.
New York, Boston. Yeah. Even Boston without
Jason
Tatum. I mean, it's still top five, top six. It's a loaded East.
Yeah.
Compared to years past. I get the idea that it's an easier East, but I don't know. I look at the
top,
West.
It's easier at the top, but there are so many better teams than Atlanta.
And I think in the West is certainly competitive, but I don't know. If I'm Durant, I'm still thinking I'm awesome, and I'm thinking, yeah, I change everything for a team like the Rockets who have so much going on right now. So I don't think Durant's going to want to go there. More, as far as Kevin Durant and his future, per Kelly Eco. It's not like the Rockets are saying no. They are getting calls from the Suns, and basically, Eco described it as, it doesn't mean they're not in communication about Durant. The fact that the asking price from Phoenix is going down and down and down. They're just waiting this thing out, which they should.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest thing, is that the price is going down, so I imagine the Rockets are interested just in like kind of monitoring how, you know, how low will this price be?
Right.
And from the Suns side of things, it sounds like what Eco's saying in the reporting is that they're interested in getting their own picks back, the Suns picks back, including number 10 this coming draft. I understand why they would want that. I think if Durant were to come to Houston, it wouldn't be for much more than the 10th pick and one more Suns first round pick. They're not getting all their picks back,
though. Definitely not, especially for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, not a Durant.
36 or 38 injuries, whatever he is.
Yeah,
he's up there. Sam Amick reported that he doesn't believe the Suns will chase Kevin Durant. The Suns also want to get some sort of center for Kevin Durant
as well.
Yeah, good luck. You're not getting out for
sure. Well, it's just the idea of like they're interested in still trying to like build a cohesive team.
Yeah.
Like, guys,
give it up.
Just like, just one quick thing on the Suns. They don't have their own first round pick until 2031. That's the next first round pick that they have.
Oh, boy. So they're just trying to be passable.
Devin Booker will be 35 by that point.
Jeez. All right.
That's just a quick thing on the Suns.
I'm waiting out the Suns then if I'm the Rockets. As far as other younger players, the Rockets want Reed Sheppard involved more next season. They believe he'll create more spacing for a team that lacked a lot of it. I am with you there. Hopefully we will see it all season long. I think you could make a strong case that one of the reasons that the Knicks struggled in the playoffs and as the season went along, it's not just Tom Thibodeau giving a lot of guys a lot of minutes. It's also, they should have tinkered with some things that actually worked during the playoffs and maybe had those as potential lineups in their back pocket more often than not. So the Rockets should be doing that with more of their players, including Cam Whitmore, who is also a potential trade candidate. I think he's gone.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think that they're not going to get as much as they want in return for him. I think right now there is no victory in bringing him back. The fact that Whitmore went into the offseason saying, like, I don't understand what's happening, and Ime Udoka saying, we've very much told him what is happening, that is, I think, a disconnect that's not going to be fixed over a couple of months.
Yeah, I think either as a small part of a bigger trade, like a Durant-type trade, I would expect Whitmore to be in there. Even not, I do expect that he's a pretty good candidate to get kind of processed out. Where as you're trimming down the core seven, you do kind of need to make a little bit of room. And so far, Cam Whitmore hasn't really shown anything. Like you said, just he doesn't play. So.
He doesn't play. He's got skills. He's got talent, but he doesn't seem to be buying into what they want him to do. And even if he is talented enough, I don't want to deal with a malcontent. I just don't.
So he probably gets dumped for small draft compensation.
Jabari Smith Jr., meanwhile, Tari Eason, also part of trade talks because of their rookie deals, which are movable. So that, per Kelly Eco, is the Rockets' offseason plans, the state of the Rockets union as far as what you can expect them to do over the coming weeks. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, a quick edition of the 10-minute drill. I am so tired of the NFL trying to make this a thing, but they're acting like they're not. What am I talking about? Stick around and find out.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. That's right, everybody. Football time. It's football time in Houston. And we're ready to no longer have Stephon Diggs today because he is with the New England Patriots. He has showed up at the last couple of practices, OTAs, for the Patriots. And it's been interesting just seeing all the stories that have come out about Diggs ever since that viral video of him on Cardi B's boat where a bag of pink powder was in his hand and he was seen flirting with some ladies, or just talking to them as somebody who is in a relationship, asking them to call him daddy before handing over the bag of the pink and or purple stuff. I don't know what was in it. I don't care what was in it. I ain't no snitch. I want Stephon Diggs to be the best wide receiver he can be for the New England Patriots. Times have been tough for me and my people. It's been tough. So, the NFL has no comment on the Diggs video. Patriots radio caller, commentator, and talk show host Scott Zolak reported the Patriots might cut him, but per Ian Rappaport, the Patriots have no plans to do that. So, I guess, if you're one of these folks, you could say, I'm so glad Stephon Diggs is not a Houston Texans problem anymore, but he did well here.
He did well while he was here. We've talked about it a couple different times where... Was the Stephon Diggs trade a success? And it's, well, when he played it was, but ultimately he tore his ACL, so you can't really call it a success. So I think that with that being said, I think as a Texan, it's weird because he's remembered kind of fondly, even though he didn't really do much. But now you see it's like, oh, wow, he was really on his best behavior with us.
He was. More than anyone.
Yeah.
More than with... the Vikings, Bills, or to this point, with the Patriots. Yeah.
And with the Vikings and Bills, normally it took a couple years before he got a little too comfortable here. Now it's before voluntary minicamp.
That theoretically could have happened. I will always wonder what would have happened had the Texans not decided to change his contract so that there was just 1 year left on it. What would they be doing right now if he's in year two, recovering from a torn ACL, and he's on a boat, and this happens? I wonder what they would do. I do not think the Texans would be comfortable with this at all. The Texans are big about being family first. Football's family.
Yeah. He might have gotten cut, honestly. Either cut or he would have to, like, kind of, much like how Caserio had to do a press conference and kind of, like, eat it after... What was that, the 2022 season? I think Diggs would probably be, like, forced up there to, like, apologize.
I've let my people down.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen him do that yet in New England. I suppose at some point he will be made available by media. But that was the other weird thing about him with the Texans. The Texans just hid him. They hid him.
Yeah, he didn't have his intro press conference for, like, weeks.
He never spoke. It's weird. And I'm not going to lie, I still take issue with it. With the way that they handled that. We never got to hear from him. They tried to hide him before the Bills came. It's like, what are we doing here? Anyway, around the National Football League continues. this is such a bizarre series of reports. The NFL Players Association is reportedly pondering an eventual NFL push for a division in Europe. But while they are pondering it, they're not actively preparing for it. What?
So they're pondering, but they're not actually doing anything about it. They're just sitting there being like, man, wouldn't it be sick if we had a team in Madrid?
I bet some players do think that, or in Paris, or in London. Right now, the league is focusing on getting the NFL Players Association to agree to increase the maximum number of annual international games from 10 to 16, and to make the regular season 18 games. If there was a Europe division, the teams would be in Europe, and it would make the league 36. So they'd have to come up with four at the same time. And I wonder how that would work, too, if you've got nine divisions. How do you make that work?
Yeah. Would they? Yeah, how would they play in the play? Like, would they just... would they be in the AFC or NFC? I guess maybe you change it up. You have to change the divisions, though. I don't know.
Maybe it would be the first... two teams from this European division are in each conference.
Yeah, like the London and Germany teams are AFC and then NFC. Oh, no.
Yeah, like the London.
Germany and Italy would be in the NFC.
There we go.
And
there we go.
London and France would be in the
NFC. Like Axis versus Allies. I like that. That would be funny. The Allies.
That up just for you.
Yeah, thank you. The Allies division. Or the Axis division.
Like the Legends and Leaders in the Big Ten.
Bring it back. That'd be great. So that was a weird series of reporting. Here's some OTA crap. You know, just emptying the garbage. CJ Stroud has a pec injury / shoulder injury and didn't throw again at practice today, but D'Amico Ryan said it's not a big deal. Sam Darnold threw two interceptions in a 7-on-7 in front of Seattle media. What a surprise.
That's tough.
What a surprise. Aaron Rodgers is still not a Steeler. Running out of time. Per Kevin Stefanski, Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel are like sponges. And Saints safety, Justin Reed, Texans legend, champion with the Chiefs, said that Kellen Moore has brought a Super Bowl winning culture to New Orleans. So I guess he would know.
I'll be honest, when I read this, I was like, Justin Reed? I was like, "Who? Why is he talking about Kellen Moore?" I just forgot that both these guys were on the Saints.
The Saints
I thought he was on the Eagles first. And I was thinking, why is he talking about the OC? But yeah, New Orleans Saints football.
Most people think that the Saints are going to be the worst team in the league this year. Most people. I mean, who's their quarterback?
It's tough to come up with the worst team.
Yeah, who's their quarterback? So, I appreciate Justin Reed's confidence. Reed was always cool when we got to interview him here in town. But, yeah, Kellen Moore and Justin Reed, like, these are going to be two people that having won a Super Bowl in common, and they're going to be in, like, this just dregs organization that's in a city that's also got some issues. But fun to visit! Fun to visit! So, there you go, guys. That is the 10-minute drill. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Does all that NFL talk get you going? Well, I got something that could get you going. It's called RiseHealth.com, the Rise Reds Max Strips, baby. These things are reinventing the game when it comes to getting you back in the game and getting you ready to go. What is the Rise Reds Max Strips? Well, it's the next evolution in the getting it up game, okay? It's a strip. You put it underneath your tongue. It has sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin. It combines together for a harder, longer-lasting result in minutes. It's discreet. It's easy to use. And it's up to 5 times faster than pills. Go to risehealth.com. You do a complete questionnaire, and you connect with the U.S. board-certified doctor. And guess what? After that 5-minute conversation, You enter promo code 975. You're going to get 20% off your first order. Don't skip out. If you want to get your relationship back or to feel confident again, this is the way to go about doing it. This is something brand new, and it works. Rise Health Red Max Strips at Rise Health, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. You'll rise up with Rise Health today. And we're staying with you on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call up the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Keith has a question about the NFL. I'm sure this will be completely on topic and not random whatsoever, because Keith would never do that to us. Keith, hello.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me. I had a question. Yesterday, Saquon Barkley was announced on the Madden cover. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, was Stephon Diggs potentially robbed of that honor of being on the cover? I feel like Stephon Diggs would have made a much better fit. Maybe a picture of him on the boat or in a Patriots jersey. What do you think?
That would have been awesome. I'm not going to lie. I would have loved that. I would have loved that. I would have bought it.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of people actually theorize that. Like, I have a text chain with some Patriots fans friends, and we were like, well, would you buy this cover? Yeah, I would. Just like I still have the one Madden that Tom Brady was on the cover of. I still have it. Like, I still have the hard box for the CD for, I think it was Madden for 2014 or 2015.
Was it after the 28-3 Super Bowl that he was on?
No, it was before that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think it was after the Seahawks Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. I remember back in the day when Brett Favre was on the cover Madden in a Packers jersey, and then that offseason he got traded to the Jets, and they reissued.
I don't remember them reissuing it.
Yeah, they made a new. I mean, they literally just photoshopped them into a.
Jets fans like Jake were probably crying about it. Like, oh, we got a guy on the cover. They want me to put him in a Jets uniform. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And Jake would have been he would have been basically the same age as I was at the time and really cared about who the cover of Madden was.
Well, I think he still would, especially if it's a Jets player. But hey, listen, Jake's really passionate about the Jets, you know? Crack cocaine addiction is very powerful. This is more crack than cocaine when it comes to, being a Jets fan. a lot of filler in this too. Might be some cat litter crystals in there. It's really cut.
By the way, going back to Stephon Diggs, not related to what we're talking about. Actually, it is related.
How cut was it? I wouldn't know, Sean. I don't do drugs.
No, it just occurred to me how many...
Except for risehealth.com.
How many college kids in the New England area are going to own Stephon Diggs jerseys after that video?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's going to be the go-to one.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one. He was digging in that bag, allegedly. Yeah, that would have been a good cover. It would have been a good cover, Stephon Diggs.
They should do
on the boat.
Alternate cover.
I mean, you can make an alternate cover. I think the difference is now that DVD boxes are a thing of the past, as are video game boxes.
I don't know the last time I went to a store and bought a video game.
I'm not going to lie. I do miss it. It was a nice aesthetic to have. One of my friends, they have in their place, they have on a shelf that goes around the entirety of their TV room, because these are big movie people, and it has every single great movie ever in alphabetical order.
Okay,
and it's awesome.
I was going to ask what the order was.
It's nuts. It goes truly around the entirety of the room. It's over 300 DVDs.
I do think that's going to. It's obviously already a thing with this person, and I've seen other people too. I do think that physically owning a movie among movie people will be having vinyl or something what vinyl is now.
Yeah,
I think it would be hey, by the way, I have the 4K Blu-ray of
maybe the 4K the Blu-ray Departed. Is better than streaming it. I truly don't know enough about tech.
Well, also because they can just edit movies on they can take out scenes, they can change stuff in on HBO Max or whatever.
But those are the extended editions are available on HBO Max. And
it's more like the censorship stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. That's fair. That's totally fair.
If you don't want a warning before you watch an old-timey cartoon on Disney Plus, yes. Where they're like, hey, by the way, the cat in Aristocats, the one that played the piano, we apologize preemptively.
Apparently, Paramount Plus is a bunch of babies when it comes to censorship, because I think they've pulled a bunch of South Park episodes.
Oh, yeah, they pulled the Nathan For You.
And they pulled the Nathan For You one as well, which ironically was about anti-Semitism, which is wild. We were talking about duels earlier today, Lance McCullers against Paul Skeens. We got some good nominations, best duels, real life. A text in, hetero Paul against gay Paul. That's a funny one. That is a funny one.
It is just the two wolves inside you.
Listen, we all got a little bit of it.
Yeah.
We all got a little bit of it. We all got a little gay in us. What? What are you laughing at? Wile E. Coyote against Roadrunner. That's a fictional one. Also, I mean, let's be honest. Wile E. Coyote, if he had any self-respect, he would have offed himself by now. Because he should have died several times over the course of this. Roadrunner's not even trying to fight him. Like, Wile E. Coyote is just a complete failure. He's basically the New York Jets.
Yeah, I think Wile E. Coyote, to me, is more embarrassing than Tom from Tom and Jerry. Wile E. Coyote was getting, like, punked out there. And, like you said, falling off of cliffs, delayed falling off of cliffs to where he can look down and notice that he's about to fall off a cliff. Tom and Jerry, Tom was just kind of getting his ass kicked.
Yeah.
But I felt like it was less his fault. I think Jerry was doing a little bit more. Like you said, I don't think the Roadrunner knew that he was an adversary.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he was like, meep, meep.
Yeah, Jerry was actually, like, planning against him.
duels. The U.S. women's national soccer team against the boys' high school team. That's not a duel. That's a sports match. It did go very poorly for the U.S. women's national soccer team. Ja Morant versus social media. How about Ja Morant versus the conventional norms of selfies with guns? Or Ja Morant against that 17-year-old.
That's what I was going to say.
He did bring out, I think, a gun, too. So
at the end. Didn't use it, though.
But he slapped him 13 times or whatever before that. Coug Blaze commented, Paul against Astros parking. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Oh, we do have some breaking news. The New York Knicks have fired Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, a little bit of surprise. A little bit of surprise.
That'll make things better for the Knicks. That'll get them farther. It's the coach. It's the coach. I'm sure that firing Tom Thibodeau, who everyone gets so mad about because, he coaches his team too hard in the regular season. I'm sure firing that guy is going to get everyone to the next level. It's going to make Karl Anthony Towns actually play like he's smart. It's going to make Jalen Brunson play defense to get rid of the defensive-minded coach. That's going to work great. So good job by the New York Knicks. They're getting rid of the problem. James Dolan, always on top of it. One of the best owners in sports.
It is funny, just like on paper, it's like, wait, so you had your most successful season in 25 years. You beat the team that you're like built to beat in the Boston Celtics. And you're still just like, man, get this guy out of here.
This is the best year the Knicks will ever have.
It's the best year that they've had in 25 years.
Don't forget that James Dolan is their owner. They will screw this up. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And
it's a classic, like, well, you can't get rid of Brunson. You can't get rid of Cat. You can, but, like, actually you can't. It's hard to get rid of Cat, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mikal Bridges, you have to re-sign. So it is like, well, we have to make a move. We have to change something, which right. I would go, do you have to really change all that much? Most successful year in 25 years?
I don't think they do. Yeah. Honestly, I think they should roll this entire thing back next season and hope that, you can beat the Pacers this time.
Yeah.
Rick Carlisle's a great coach, though. Sean Mays behind the glass on Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. One last text. This is a very good comment. From the 845, Wile E. Coyote had all that money to buy all those gadgets. Why didn't he just buy dinner? Damn.
Makes you think.
Damn. He wanted what he couldn't have. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,